Blog Talk Radio.
Right about man.
Oh! Lush! Talk to him! It's 2K10, think we begin in the hush now. Block Talk Radio, listen to Lush Spot. Music even hotter than what you stash in the glove box. People like,
you heard the New York rapper that Lush got?
TDI and Lush together, it's like a dream team. A Bronx bummer who linked up with a street queen. Over here, we don't need no softness. The Nigerian prince, that CEO Boston. Lush, like her out there ain't another fam. I'm TDI, dig it homie, I'm a brother man. Violate, play tough and act gutter, man. Snap your damn neck back like a rubber band. I'm in the crib bumping Malice in Wonderland. While you other rappers act like faggots in Wonderland. Ray said getting money is the occupation. Lush Radio Online is domination. Yeah. Bronx, New York, your representative right here, TDI. Shouts to Lush Radio, blocktalkradio.com. Let's go.
Hello, it's your girl, Lushy Lush, live in the building. You know, I was just talking to the beautiful and lovely Natasha Brown, you know, doing the wonderful things in the DMV with her beautiful self, beautiful woman. She's going to be calling the show, too, also, because we're going to be talking about basically how are women looked at in 2010 in the industry, regardless if it's business, if it's music industry, how are the women portrayed in 2010? Is it the same way like in the past, or are we looked at a little bit different? And we want you to call in at 347-826-7722. You're logged on to Street Queens, the movement, positive women doing positive things in the industry, different women that are definitely doing some real good things in the industry and giving back to the community at the same time. Tonight, we're going to actually have a young lady by the name of Tanisha Britt, brought to us by N. Brown, Inc., and she's going to be talking to us about the International Film Festival in the DMV area, and we're also going to be talking about basically how are women in business viewed worldwide, internationally, and we want to hear your opinion, and we also employ men to call in. Log on to www.streetqueensthemovement.ning.com. And also log on to www.lushradioonline.com. We want to thank our sponsors, Strictly Bump One, along with ohanashop.com. And we're definitely going to be getting it in tonight, talking about how women are viewed in the industry. I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines for my beautiful queens that always come through and definitely hold a sister down. Peace, Queen Ebony, peace.
Oh, peace, Queen. How you doing?
Doing great, my love. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling awesome. God is good, so I can't ask for anything more.
That's what it is, baby. And we got the beautiful Ebony. She's representing the California area, and she's always supporting us on Street Queens, the movement. And peace. Is this my girl, Ann, Juicy Fruit, live in the building?
Yes, it's Juicy. How are you?
How you
Hi,
doing?
Juicy.
Peace, Queen.
Hi, ladies. Can you hear me good? Because I got you on speaker. My cell phone has to be, like, one spot for me to get service.
I understand, sweetie.
I look at the boonies.
We got our beautiful queen, Ann, on here, a.k.a. Juicy Fruit for You on Twitter, doing her thing. She's a wonderful nurse in the medical field and just a wonderful person in the social media aspect. And she's joining us tonight. And we're going to have the lovely Tanisha Britt live on the line with us on Lush Radio Online, talking about the musical, the music, the movie film festival, and more in the DMV area. That's brought to us by Tasha Brown of Think Brown, Inc. And we're going to go ahead and go to the phone line and see if we have her on the line and everything, and we're going to talk more with her And then we're going to talk about how a woman viewed in the industry in 2010. Are we looked more as the powerful forefront, or are we still looked down upon in the industry? Let's talk about it. 478-267-722. Let's go to the phone line. Caller from the 202. You're live in the building on Lush Radio Online. Right now, we're with Street Queens, the movement. Peace, Queen.
Hey, is this, hello? This is Tanisha Britt.
Hi, Tanisha. How are you doing today?
Fine. How are you?
You today?
Connect. Am I right?
Yeah, you're live on Lush Radio. You're live on Lush Radio Online with Street Queens, the movement, the panelists of women doing their thing in the industry. And we welcome you to the show tonight.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Really, I do.
Uh-huh. I'll go ahead and give you some love.
That's what's up.
Tasha was actually telling me that you were at the last, you actually edited the last Wordsmith video. He was on our show. He comes on our show several times on Lush Radio Online, but the Street Queens, the movement segment of the show that happens each and every Thursday. And I was just trying to, you know, pinpoint to make sure that it was the same person that I seen at the event, because I was actually there, but I had to leave out though, and everything.
I know exactly who this is. No, I didn't edit the video. I produced it, but I remember you. You were in the back with us with the makeup and everything. You were in the waiting room.
I was in the back. I was in the back doing my show live over there.
At all, you weren't playing that with us that day. You weren't playing. What's up? How you doing?
I'm doing great, definitely. So, Tanisha, could you tell us more about the film festival and everything that's going on?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, the film festival is starting June 25th through the 30th. And basically, with the DMV International Film Festival, what we're doing is we're really bringing the international films to the forefront of the DMV area. It's the area's first international-based film festival that just focused on that and bridging the gap between filmmakers in the DMV area and international artists. So it's a niche film festival, but it goes down June 25th through the 30th, and we're having our first fundraiser of it actually tomorrow at Mocha Gallery in Georgetown. It's called DMV Nude. So it'll be like a nude photography session / party, music, free wine. Everybody just come through.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Also, Tasha tells us that, you know, you produce, you edit, and you also do treatments also and stuff like that. Tell us more how you got into the film industry.
Well, I started off, you know, with photography. And then when I went to school, I got more into video production. And then I started shooting movies, you know what I mean? Like, I've always loved films. Like, I've always loved filmmaking. And, like, I figure as a filmmaker, you have to be great at every aspect. That's what makes a really great filmmaker. So I started from the ground up. I started just going to people's sets, working as a production assistant, seeing the final product, then going back researching screenplays, how they were made, how they developed, just studying up. You know what I mean? I studied up, and I just was taken under a lot of people's wings. I watched, observed my surroundings, and I just fell into place with what I want to do. Every morning when I wake up, I'm really happy to be a filmmaker. I'm happy to actually do what I do, go to music video sets, get music videos ready, and just make it. So, I mean, it just, for me, it was a thing it just was with me. It's just who I am. It's more so like not even just a lifestyle, it's just who I am. It's a filmmaker.
That's what it is. I'm going to throw it to my beautiful ladies, my queens on the line. They might have some questions for you. Ebony, you want to go ahead and ask Tanisha a question?
Yes, how you doing, Peace Queen?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. What were some of the controversies that you came in to play with, you know, starting your, you know, your new career? You said you started with the photography, and then you just wanted to do the the you know, the directing of the movies and things and producing of the movies?
Right. I started off the talk, yeah. You said, what type of controversy did I run into?
Yeah. Like being a woman and coming into the industry.
Oh, I mean, the first thing is, you know, the fellas, you know, some of them that I was running into when I first got in, it's like they don't want to work with you. They want to get to know you as a woman. And you really have to really, really set that bar high. Like, you really have to kind of separate that. Like, I got a lot of, like, just inappropriateness. You know what I mean? Like, the female holding the camera, like, I was doing live events at one point because I really was working on my camera skills. So I was doing live events, and it's just working with party promoters and really starting out in the game, really get it really, 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 really raw. And so I was just coming across a lot of that not being taken seriously because I'm a woman, my work becoming good only before they found out that I wouldn't be sleeping with them or I wouldn't have anything to do with them. So, I mean, I went through a lot. I went through a lot, and a lot of stuff. Like, I got burnt a lot of times in the business, a lot of times, but I feel like that only made me stronger as a filmmaker. Like, I'm not as naive as I was when I first started back years ago. You know what I mean? So it now, to this day, like, I don't play that at all. And so the men who I work with, they know that. That's why I produce their projects, because they know I'm a go-getter, and they know I don't go for the foolishness. And that's only years of backbreaking and years of just men just crowding me, like, just crying. And even females will try you too. Females will try you too. Like, there's some female filmmakers. There was some when I was living in Atlanta that I really wanted to get up under their wing, and they wasn't having it because they felt threatened by me because I'm young and I'm ambitious, and they felt some type of way. So I was held back a lot of those instances.
Wow. So you basically had to make your own lane, basically.
You say that again?
I said you basically had to, you know, make your own lane. You had to endure and then overcome, and then, you know, which brought you to who the person and what you're doing are today.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Like, today, like, I had to really, 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 really decide, like, okay, if this life is for me, if this filmmaking, like, this profession is for me, then I have to grow some tough skin. So I decided, you know what, I'm tired of waiting for the opportunity to be given to me. I'm tired of sitting back wondering if and should this happen. I just said, I'm going to create the opportunity. And so I created the film festival, and I created that avenue for filmmakers just as myself to come out and say, here, this is my film. Like, I got tired of waiting. I'm a very impatient woman, very impatient. And so I felt like, you know what, at the rate I'm going, I'm either going to run into people who feel intimidated or people who really don't even have the means to really help me. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to create that opportunity for both parties, even the people who didn't want to help me out in a situation. You get what I mean? Like, I mean,
right.
I just, like I said, I created my own avenue. I just went my own way.
That's what it is. I'm going to throw it to the beautiful and wonderful Juicy Fruit.
Yeah.
A.K.A.
Yep.
Ann. And you got a question for the young lady, Ann?
I don't really have a question, but I want to say that I respect her as a queen, because that is what she is. Because based on what she's telling us, she had to stand her ground and make them respect her, give her the respect that she needs and demands. I know it's a tough industry, but what I would want to ask her is, do you think, Tanisha, that you lost on some opportunities because you would not make certain alliances with other directors or producers, you know, people who were already successful in the game?
You know, I'm a firm believer in fate. I'm a firm believer in fate, and I feel like if those opportunities were really meant for me, then I would still be in them. There's certain things that have happened in the past. Like, don't get me wrong. I would definitely, there's always room for learning, and I would definitely always go up under the wing of a more experienced director. It only makes me better. You get what I mean? But there's some situation, opportunities, to be honest with you, as a professional and as a filmmaker and as a woman first, that I just didn't really care about. I didn't want them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care. Like, there's been opportunities that I've been approached and been offered money to do X, Y, Z, but the whole moral standards of their production company were off, whereas I knew that later on down the line, I wouldn't want to put my name on that project. See, to me, it's all about a brand, and it's about my name. And so I have to build up from now. Even if I tell, even tell younger people, like, yo, you better start being picky now. Just don't pick up everything off the ground or you get burnt. You know, I just went about my career strategically. I just went about everything strategically. So I know that there are opportunities that I probably did not get to get. But at the same time, those opportunities will be back around if they're really meant for me to have.
You got that right. I respect that because I wish there were more women like you in the industry because, you know, I'm a woman of a certain age. I'm 40 years old, and what I'm seeing on TV and the music videos make me nauseous. I mean, I understand there's a time and place for everything. I have nothing against the porn industry, but, I mean, they're literally blending it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Porn should be porn, and that should be on the side, and music videos should be music videos. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when hip-hop just started and, you know, they started making videos. And the videos used to tell a story. Now it's like, let me shake the booty and the titties in the screen, and let me get some attention. And people are getting famous off of being a video model. I didn't know you were a model in a video.
That's what it is. That's what it is. I'm going to go ahead and go to this next caller. We got a caller from the 216. You're live on Street Queens, The Movement. Peace. State your name and where you're calling from. 216? 216. I guess you're just listening. Okay. Thank you for calling in. Tanisha, also, being in the, film industry, you know, what are some of the accomplishments that you feel that you've accomplished, working in the film industry and creating your own lane? Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, my first major accomplishment was when I completed my first feature film. I think that was my step. And then when it started getting accepted into film festivals, that was another bet. And then most recently, it's been the film festival. Like, it's funny because filmmakers come to me all the time, like, yo, you want to screen some of your work? And I always say to them, this film festival is not for me. As a filmmaker, it's very hard to not screen your own movies. But, like, this film festival, for me, it's like a large accomplishment because I'm doing something for other filmmakers, not myself. Like, I'm not allowed to, because I'm the face of it, I can't judge the films. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't screen my own films. I can't compete in my own film festival. This is solely for this area and for filmmakers from this area, international filmmakers. Like, you can't forget about the international, because really, it don't matter wherever you're known at in America, yo. If you're not really major international, if you don't have that international fan base, you're not doing it. You're not doing it. Like, they matter over there. They matter. So, like, this is what I'm doing right now. My biggest accomplishment is the film festival, and it's just because I'm bringing something to them as well over there.
Right.
Wow.
That's what it is. That's what it is. And the situation she just touched on, broadening your horizons and touching other bases, whether it's just not just being in the United States of America, but spreading your wings and stepping outside and pushing the envelope, you know, which I commend her to doing, because it's not too many people in the DMV area right now at the moment versus, you know, especially in the film industry that are taking it to the point of the way she's taking it to like, you know, we see all the Sundance films and, you know, take for instance like the movie Precious. You know, it got its buzz through the Sundance films and the film festivals. Then it took it, and now, you know, they received the Oscar. So, you know, with what she's offering, an opportunity for up and coming filmmakers, is definitely a wonderful achievement, and I definitely commend her on doing that, because some people don't even have these opportunities there. Most people don't even have that in the DMV area. So she's exposing people to a whole new movement, bringing the international culture into the film festival, you know, and created that platform for people there. So we definitely commend her on Street Queens, the movement, and her being a woman, being a woman in the industry in general. I'm going to go ahead and bring in our beautiful, wonderful Natalia calling in from the her phone bounced off just a few minutes ago. Natalia with her phone, Ebony.
I know.
Her phone is always, I don't know if she never puts it on a charger, but it's always going dead. But she'll be back on in a few, but I definitely got to commend her for what she's doing, you know, and hopefully, you know, the films and everything, you know, takes it to the point. And we wish success for you, you know, we hope to see you on the Oscars one day doing your thing and, you know, accepting the award, you know, because we need more women to definitely do their thing in the industry. We already know it's all run by testosterone, but behind every strong man is a strong woman. So most men that has become successful in today's day and age is because of a wonderful, strong woman behind them.
Right.
So definitely we commend you in what you're doing. Let me try Natalia calling in from the Florida area, our other queen. Peace, queen. We have a wonderful... Wonderful filmmaker live in the building, Tanisha. She's starting a film festival, international film festival in the DMV area, and she's integrating the international experience into the United States, into the DMV area, and she's having a big event. You want to talk to her, Natalia? This is our
Hello, queens. How we doing? Hey, how are you? Good. I'm sorry I keep losing contact. My phone is crappy.
What's the deal?
Nah, just been working, supporting my queens. So you doing an international film festival? That is really hot. Is it going to be like foreign films or?
Foreign films all day.
Foreign films.
And films from this area or filmmakers from this area. Type of genres you're going to see. You want to see international films or you want to see films from D.C.?
I'm into international films. I love foreign films.
Me too.
Yep. I keep trying to put people on foreign films are where it's at.
And you know, some people might be lazy about reading, but like if you look at a lot of French movies and Italian movies and all the European movies, a lot of them are like the storylines, some of their I feel like they sometimes can be more of a story and more, not say more violent, but they show more than what American TV or movies would show.
There's a certain market that's international. There's a entire market that is sad to say that people in the States do not know anything about. I'm very happy that you got a whiff of it. I'm very happy. Like it really.
Yeah.
But a lot of people here do not even know about international foreign films, anything. And it's like these films are absolutely gorgeous to watch. You know what I mean?
A lot of Bollywood films are so amazing with all the beauty. I mean, there's a lot of fine, beautiful Indian men and women. And there's a movie called Maria Full of Grace. It's a Colombian movie. It's all in subtitles.
And
it's basically...
It's beautiful.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I recommend everybody go see it. It's from, I think, the Independent Film Channel, the Sundance. Won an award. It's about basically, you know, the drug dealers and the cartels in Colombia, how they get these women to be like mules and swallow these pellets and come into the United States. And those are very touching. I love watching Bollywood films. I watched a German movie today, matter of fact.
There is a film that we're screening. We're going to be screening it soon in April. We're having a screening. And it's called Adulthood. Kidulthood and Adulthood. And they're two separate movies. Adulthood is, of course, the sequel. But it was done by a filmmaker named Noel Clark. I tell you, he pinpointed, it's like a British Kids. Like, if you've ever seen Kids, the old movie, U.S. movie Kids, about the guy.
Yeah.
It's like a British Kids. So much raw than Kids. It's like amazing. That film is amazing to watch. It's ridiculous. It's that film, and then they have another film that's coming out in March 26th, but it's not getting released in the U.S., which, of course, you know, it's pretty sad, but it's called Shank. It's called Shank, and it's really, really good. It's a really good movie, and I suggest everybody go see Shank. It's coming out March 26th. But there's plenty of international films, the foreign films, is dope, like to the fifth power. And that, unfortunately, this area or a lot of places in the States as well will not get to see. And this is why, like, I have to do this film festival, because this cinema has to be seen. It has to be. Like, this is such a diverse area. Like, I love D.C., Maryland, Virginia. Like, it's such a diverse area. It's so original here. We have original music, clothing. We're fashionable. Everything under the stars we have. And it's like so many people hear about D.C., but we don't hear about them. That's an issue for me, you know?
Definitely.
That's what it is. That's what it is. And when we're touching bases on international films, you know the appreciation of film in general, it's an art. Just like whether it's music, whether it's painting, it's a form of art. Projecting images to the world, express what either the director or the writer is feeling or thinking, or projecting images of expressions of different people's lives or stories, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's something that, you know, us as people need to appreciate, you know. Also, you know, if you started looking at a lot of the films nowadays, they're starting to have, like, you know, subliminal messages and stuff like that, you know, for people to think about. You know, the films are getting more elaborate, and, you know, I think some people need to just take a chance on exploring and enhancing their horizons versus just sticking to the norm. And I would say that, too, because I'm, like I said, I'm Nigerian, and the Nollywood, the whole Nigerian films have been taking the world by storm. You know, we had the Bollywood with the Indian you know, filmmaking, and their films are so romantic. You have, it's almost like a Romeo and Juliet with the dance choreography and everything like that,
mm-hmm.
and the colors and the pictures and stuff. You know, the whole Bollywood thing. Then you bring in the whole integration of the Nollywood, which is the Nigerian film sensations that have been coming out, which they're being copyrighted right now in New York. And they've been doing a lot of different film festivals, but just incorporating that in the French movies and all different, it's time for us to explore and expand versus staying with the regular norm. The norm is boring. We need to open up to new things and new venues. That's why we really have to commend this young lady for doing what she's doing right now in the DMV area, you know. So definitely I implore everybody to support her, come out to her events. Support her in the film festival, and you know whatever she's doing, you know, we're here to support females in the industry, regardless, no matter what shape or form, what color, what race. You know, this is a female empowerment. We have to support the women in the industry, you know, because if we don't, who else is going to do it? Not the men. You know,
exactly.
Honestly, you know?
right Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, like my entire team, and we just added on Jay. Well, Jay's been working with us, but she's just, like, officially, like, with the team. And, like, until she came on, I was working with a team full of guys. Like, it's, like, three. It's three guys, and then it was just me. And with these guys and being the only female, watching these guys go, it's really, like, they're off the hook. They're off the hook. Sometimes it's like, because I'm a woman, I'm looked at as being a little bit more emotional, even though I'm not. But, of course, because I'm a woman, I deal with that. Like, oh, T, get out your emotions. And it's like, nah, like, I'm feeling the same way you're feeling. But, I mean, you deal with that sometimes. Like, you deal with automatically thinking that, like, yeah, you're in your emotions, or you're just being a woman, you're being a bit too emotional, or you're being a bit too theatrical, or it's not that serious, or, you know what I mean, just little stuff, especially when it comes to dealing with clients. Like, it comes to a point, especially with my team, when we meet with a client, and I'm the only female, and we meet with a guy or artist, you know what I mean, his eyes or his manager come straight to the female, say they want me, but that's just how guys are. They're attracted to women, you know what I mean? And so to see a woman hold power, they're looking like, whoa, why are these guys listening to her? Like, what's so special about her? I'm going to see if I can break her. You know what I mean? Like, this is something that's I'm continuously dealing with. It's slower these days. Like, these days, it's kind of slowed up. But you still deal with it from time to time.
That's what it is. And she actually touched into the point about how women are viewed in this, today's industry, whether it's business, whether it's the music industry, no matter what industry it is. In 2010, how are women viewed versus in the past days? Are we viewed as more the boss's boss, or are we viewed as the same? Are we the counterpart, or are we just the person in the back burner? That's the question. Call in at 347-826-7722. If you're just joining us right now, it's Street Queens The Movement with all our beautiful queens live on the line. And we were talking with Tenacia, and she's a wonderful film, producer, director, screenwriter, editor. She's doing her thing, and she has an international film festival that's going to be going down in the DMV area, and we definitely need you guys to definitely support that. Tenacia, can you once again give out your information so people can definitely, check you out and everything like that?
Right. Everybody, you can visit me at www.dmviss.com. That's the Film Festival website. If you just click on Contact Us, just click on the email and somebody get back to you. Either that, or you can check out my most recent music videos if you just go to www.d.films.com, d.films.com, that's d.films.com, all one word. Either that or just go ahead and Google up my name and then you'll find my Vimeo, my Tube, everything that's linked to me ends with Tenacia Britt. That's my tag, that's my name, Tenacia Britt. So check me out, everybody.
Definitely support Tenacia. Go ahead. We're going to go to a quick commercial, and we'll be back. We'll have some more questions for Tenacia in a quick second, and we'll be talking more about how women viewed in the industry in 2010. We'll be back with a quick commercial.
Yo, this your girl, Lushy Lush, from the Lush Radio Online Show. I'm live in the building, and you already know what it is, man. I'm all the way turned up. The people's voices all the way turned up. You know why? Because I logged on to www.capitalcustom.com. I'm talking about you looking for that hot shirt to wear with your jeans, and you just can't find nothing in the store. Then you need to holler at capitalcustom.com. Why? Because they'll make you a shirt on the spot to match your persona, baby, because it's all about branding you and what you represent, man. It's all about being you and being fresh when you step out there, because that's what they all about. Log on to www.capitalcustom.com. Call them at 202-471-0310. Call them at 202-471-0310. And don't forget them to follow them on Twitter at Capital_Customs with a Z. You already know what it is, man. It's your girl, Lushy Lush, man. And they got an official stamp for me because you already know what it is. I'm rocking my Capital Custom right now. You already know what it is, man, because I'm all the way turned up.
And we're back to our regular scheduled program with the wonderful and beautiful ladies of Street Queens The Movement, Juicy Fruit, a.k.a. Ann, and we have Ebony, Miss Ebony, as sometimes she wants you to call her. And we also have the wonderful and beautiful Natalia, a.k.a. Colombian Princess, and the wonderful Tenacia Britt live on the line. And we're talking about basically the International Film Festival that Tenacia is doing in the DMV. Along with that, we're also talking about how are women being viewed in today's industry. Call in at 347-826-7722, 347-826-7722. And you're live on Street Queens The Movement. And we're going back to the lines to talk to our wonderful ladies. What's up, ladies?
Hey.
Okay. Hey. Tenacia, I have a question for you.
Sure.
I understand that you're starting it in the DMV. You're starting the film, the independent film festival inside the DMV because that's where you are. But where is, depending on, the outcome, where is the next place where you're going to go? Are you just going to just keep it in the DMV and have everyone just come to the DMV, or are you going to be, mobile?
That's the plan.
Different areas.
That's the plan right now. That's the plan. That's the plan to keep it DMV and just keep it straight here. That's the plan. I do plan on taking the film festival for 1 year, and I think I'm going to do this on our 5th anniversary. But taking the film festival back to where it originally began, and that's London, England. I started the film festival when I was in England for this area. So I think that's where I plan on, you know, taking the film festival after a while. Just not for a whole a long time or nothing like that, but at least for a year. At least for a year, because you know, I do have an international base that I have to, you know, touch on too.
Okay, and the second thing that I want to ask you is for the listeners that have not been exposed to international films and maybe they want to open up their broaden horizons with things of that nature, how do they, you know, where is there like a website or something where they can go to, click on snippets of it to view the film, to purchase it, or, you know, where's the information for the listeners, you know, in order to open up, to broaden their horizon, to start paying attention to the international films? Because that's basically what we want to do. We want to broaden people's, you know, horizon and let them know this is what's out here. And, you know, had you not come on the show at this point in time, you know, our listeners would not be exposed to this right now. So how are they able to, you know, get this information for the film?
Well, soon, in about a week or so, we're launching our international portion of our website where we're posting the actual trailers to international films that are not yet being released yet, but soon, so giving everybody a sneak preview. We're doing that. But for the most part, I suggest tell everybody do what I do and just keep your eyes to BBC.com. Go to BBC.com. Go to Revolver Entertainment. It's different entertainment companies that are in England and that I had the, you know, the pleasure to get to know because I was living there for a while. But there are plenty of ways to kind of move around and maneuver. Like, it's just on the internet. Like, go just, if you just Google international films, you'll have a list of things pop up. We're also, like I said, we're going to put something on our site, but for the most part, if people want the information right now, I just say go to BBC.com. And there's BBC.co.uk, BBC.co.uk, B3media.co.uk. You can also go to B3, and then there's another one off the top of my head. I'm going to send Lush some information to kind of, like, I guess, post on her blog or what so. But, yeah, right now, those are only two, the main two that give me much information that I can think of off the top of my head.
Excellent, because I was, you know, I was sitting here, I'm like, wow, you know, it would be nice if we have some trailers or a website that we can go to just to see a little bit of it to see if we want to purchase the film.
Right. Well, we're going to post, like I said, we're going to post our trailers. We were trying to wait until when our submission time is over, our submission deadline, which is late April, the last or final submissions is April 27th. So we were trying to wait to put things up, but a lot of people have been requesting, like, yo, I want to see international film trailers. Like, I want to see what's out there, whether it's old films or new, but I want to definitely see what's out there. And so we're definitely going to put something up really soon, though, for you guys.
Also,
there's a film, like, speaking of foreign films, there's a way to shoot for filmmakers and what they'll learn during some workshops for the film festival. There's ways to shoot foreign films, but in America. And, like, there's this film, it's a film called Chop Shop. And it's a film based in Queens, New York. But the way it was shot, it made Queens, New York look like a third world country. And that's actually considered, because of the look, it's considered a foreign film. A lot of people didn't know that. But it's actually considered foreign. But, I mean, it's here in the U.S., it's English, but it looks like it was shot in a third world country. Just because I believe they shot it in a junkyard, but the way they made things look, like, it was just dopeness. So that's another film I would say go check out. It's called Chop Shop. It came out in 2007. It hit the actual film festival round really, really hard. So it was on circulation for about 2 years straight. It's a really good film. It wasn't picked up for an Oscar though, but it was a really good film.
Juicy, you got a question for another question for Tanisha?
Yeah, I mean, what advice you would give to, I would say, a young person, but it doesn't really have to be a young person, but anybody who wants to change their profession and get into the business, are there prerequisites that you would recommend, courses, organizations to join? What advice would you give them?
I would say, first and foremost, if you're going to decide to do it,
because, you know, filmmaking doesn't pay millions at first. Like, it barely pays anything at first. And so if you're going to do it, I say give it your all and really know what you're getting yourself into. I would really prefer somebody really research what exactly it means to be a filmmaker and to live, and especially financially as a filmmaker when you're starting up. I would say do that. I would say really, really love cinema. Like, be able to sit down and watch films for hours at a time and not complain once, then you're ready. Because that is called studying, you know what I mean? When I watch films, I study them. I break them down from every nook and cranny. So I would tell somebody, make sure that even if you don't have any guidance, make sure you can teach yourself. Make sure you study cinema, study film, study the dialogue, study how it's cut, study the pacing of it. Make sure you train your eyes, because there's a certain eye that a filmmaker has, and that, you know, most of them develop, some are born with, whatever. But, like, there's an eye that a filmmaker has that is specially trained to break down reality, break down cinema, break down imagery. So make sure you're just ready for it. That's all I have to say, you know what I mean? And then it's faith. It's a lot of faith, because a lot of people are going to say no and your film is not good. A lot of people will say that. And so it takes you to take up that energy and get better and better and better. Like, I tell people, yo, I can only get doper. Like, I can only get doper, so they either accept me now or won't be able to accept me later. I don't know. I can't tell them. But, like, that's kind of like the attitude that I think everybody should have. Like, just know that you can only get better and you're only as good as your last film. So,
but are there any resources that you would recommend, organizations where they can get information or mentorship?
Yeah, they can go to dcfilm.org. DCfilm.gov. And DCfilm.gov is the DC Film Office, and they help out so much. They have film salons that they have. They take, like, every month they have a film salon. They have workshops. I would say go on your local film website. If you Google DC Film, it'll automatically come up. You have DCfilm.gov, and you have DCfilmOffice.gov, I believe. They're two different offices, but they both care. If you Google Maryland Film Production, then the Maryland Film Office will pop up their website. They have a lot of information. They know what's being shot in Maryland, when and where. And they also, if you go to the Washington Post in the arts section, the arts section always has, like, open jobs, film gigs, things of that nature. Make sure any magazine or anything that's D.C.-based that has an arts section, there's usually workshops for filmmakers listed there. There's usually are. So that's the best I would say. Go to D.C. Film Office was my savior, because, like, I go there to find out about permits, because these days to really shoot in D.C. you have to have a permit. So, I mean, I just go there about permits. Any question, there's a guy there named Ben. When I tell you, Ben is pure love. If you call Ben and ask him any questions, a new filmmaker, he will definitely show you love. So that's about it. I mean, that's as far as my resources. And also, if you want, like, internships with production companies, you can contact my production, one of the ones that I work with, d.films.com. If you contact D.films, Patrick Taylor or John Hybe will get back to you with internship information on our next projects, movies that they're doing, XYZ.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
How would you get your film submitted, like, to a film festival? I mean, who decides what films are played?
Well, you have a grand jury. And grand jury usually is the one to say, okay, yay and nay, I like this film, okay, I don't. I can see films, but my judgment doesn't matter, you know what I mean, because it's a conflict of interest because I am a filmmaker. So, usually with film festivals, if you go to the film festival website, if they're calling for submissions, they'll always have call for submissions. Just go to call for submissions, especially on a DMVIFF site. Go to call for submissions and you mail in two copies of your DVD with a digital press package and your submission fee, and you send it in, and you wait about a couple of weeks or so, and then you get your notification letter saying if you made it into the film festival or not.
Oh, that's great.
But it usually works like that with every film festival. You usually just look up the submission, look up the guidelines, make sure that you're abiding by all the rules. Because some filmmakers get it twisted, and they'll submit to a film festival, and they won't read the guidelines or the rules. So then they'll automatically disqualify themselves and be upset when they don't get their money returned, because submission fees are non-refundable.
Right.
That's how it is. We take a second to shout out our sponsors. Definitely want to shout out ohanastop.com. If you need any of that ice or anything to just make you feel like diamonds are a girl's best friend, log on to ohanastop.com. Along with that, also check out www.strictlybunt1.com, hottest urban design clothing line in the industry. Along with that, we also want to shout out Capital Customs and Diverse Media Group, LLC. And right now, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Tanisha Britt, film producer, and she's actually opening up the International Film Festival in the DMV, the first one. So it's definitely going to be going down in the DMV. So we employ everybody to open up their horizons and definitely support what Tanisha has going on. In regards to film, some people have asked me on Twitter, basically, what are some of the classifications that you do? Do you do commercials? Do you just focus on more of film? Do you shoot everything? What is your strong point, and what is the one? What do you do and what you don't? What do you do and what don't you do when it comes to film?
Man, you know what? I make art. Everything I do to be cinematic. Everything I do. I do everything. It's like commercials. I will do photo montages of music, which is the new day online advert was photo montage, and I just really banged that joint. So, I do music videos. My specialty, though, is films. Like, that's my specialty, like directing and editing films. But, on project to project, like sometimes I get commercials, sometimes I get music videos, and sometimes I get, just edits. Like, sometimes people just want me just as their editor because they already have their footage shot. So I'm pretty much flexible and versatile. Like I said earlier, I think a great filmmaker needs to know every act. I can be great at every aspect. So for me, it's just getting it into every aspect and doing it well. So, for project, if it comes to me and it's the right fit for me, then I'll do it.
That's what it is. Where do you see yourself in the near future? Where do you see yourself taking this? Do you just want to stay within the film genre, or do you want to do anything else? Will we ever see you in front of the camera or instead of behind the camera? Let us know.
Yo, you will never, ever see me in front of the camera, ever. Like, only way you'll see me in front of the camera is somebody's taking snapshots or they forcing me to do a interview. Like, I'm not a camera person. Like, I'm not that type of person to be in front of the camera. I'm more the person that, is kind of behind the scenes. As far as where I'm going to be in the near future, well, hopefully I'll be making movies. that's all I want to do, really. All I want to do, I'm at the point where I want to just make movies. I just want to make great films, and I want to shoot great films in D.C., and I want somebody with huge pockets to say, yo, you're dope. I want you to shoot this, and I'm going to fund your project. There you go. That's what I see myself doing in the future, and that's what I want to do in the near future. Other than that, for the film festival, of course, doing the film festival, traveling around, especially around in the international basis, like around England, Africa, and buying cinema for the film festival to actually showcase in D.C. So if I'm not traveling around, looking at different films and shooting movies, I don't know. That's all I plan on doing.
And since we're talking about the international scene, I definitely want to shout out DJ Ames, our DJ friend for Lush Radio Online in the UK. Definitely shout him out. He's doing his thing. So we're shouting him out on Lush Radio Online, Street Queens, the movement, positive people doing positive things. I just want to say that we're actually, you know, just proud of everything that you're doing, Tanisha. And I want to shout out the beautiful and wonderful, which I had the pleasure to work with side by side, Natasha Brown. I think she's one of the hottest publicists in the DMV area, and I had the pleasure of working with her at the DMV Awards, the original DMV Awards in 2010 this year, and she did an excellent job. And I just want to shout her out for all the positive things she's been doing out there and for bringing you for this interview on Street Queens, the movement. So I just do want to salute her and stuff because I definitely love her to death. Ladies, your final thoughts with Tanisha?
This is Juicy. I just want to say that I wish there were so many more powerful, strong women in the industry. We really need that right now, you know, for someone to stand up and tell our side of the story or tell the story from a strong woman's perspective. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, what's out there is not the truth or partial truth, but, you know, I'm tired of seeing the weak female or the exploited female. I want to see strong women out there, and I wish her all the best.
I really appreciate it. I really appreciate it. You guys keep me going, you know what I mean? That positive energy really keeps me going, especially on bad days.
Ebony? Ebony, you there? She always puts herself on mute. Ebony. Ebony, are you there? Ebony? Get off of mute.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. It's not me. I have a touch screen phone, and my teeth put on mute accidentally.
No,
but,
you mean nails now?
Yeah. So what I wanted to know, Tanisha, is because you had to go, you know, you had a lot of mountains and hills and climbs to and things that, like that, do you think about maybe doing some training for some young students, some young, you know, the young generation?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, with the film festival, because it's our first year, we really can't touch on all our plans in our, like, our definite package. But next year, we're planning a college tour. And we were going to go up and down the East Coast to all the top film schools. And we were planning that for the film, like the film festival would actually sponsor that and to do that. And then, like, over the summer, like, I do one-on-one filmmaker training. Like, last summer, had me a couple of kids, and we just really just rocked out, like, all the way. And, you know, there was really, really great kids. And so, like, I think that those kids, the same kids that I was training up, are going to be the same ones that one day take the throne. So I try my best to take care of them and show them the ropes and show them what's good and bad. So, yeah, I definitely, like, if anybody comes to me with ideas about wanting me to teach big children or come to the class, I always jump at that opportunity because to see how eager they are. And sometimes the kids with the most behavioral problems make the best filmmakers,
Wow.
I was one of those kids. I was one of those kids that could not sit down, always fighting, always suspended, skipping class, doing God knows what, whatever. But once I touched that camera, man, and knew how to channel all that creativity and my imagination, it was a wrap. It was a wrap. And so every time I work with those kids, I see that, and I see myself how I couldn't sit down. I had a smart mouth. I was very rude. You know what I mean? Like, I see that in them, and it builds me up to see that. So, yeah, I'm in it.
That's what it is.
Wow, that's awesome. That's definitely awesome. Thank you.
Definitely appreciate her coming on there and what she stated about, you know, children with behavioral problems because, you know, you guys know that I teach during the day, and I teach special needs children and children that go through behavioral problems. And, you know, just putting something artistic in front of their faces and just watching them go is just, like, so amazing. The same child is just, like, so angry at the world. It's
yeah.
just because they don't have a way to channel that energy into something mm-hmm. positive. So, you know, doing that is definitely something great. I don't know. I might have to talk to Tasha about, you know, seeing if you could come out to Northwestern or something, Northwestern High School. We had to talk about that.
I'm from Hinesville. I know all about Northwestern. That was the high school that my mother decided not to send me to because she knew. She already knew what the deal was. So she sent me out to Laurel. But, yeah, Northwestern, yeah. I would love to come out there.
Whether it's Northwestern, because I got ties in Northwestern and Eleanor Roosevelt High School. So either one. We're definitely proud of what you're doing with the International Film Festival and just what you're doing as a woman and creating a lane for yourself because, hey, you know, if they don't open the opportunity for you, like Russell Simmons says, you know, don't wait for somebody, you know, create your own lane. You know, don't wait for anybody to give you an opportunity. You seize the opportunity and make your own opportunity. When one door closes, another door will open, point blank, and that's what it is, man. And we definitely see nothing but success for you. And we just want to continue to support what you're doing out there and keep doing what you're doing, for real, honestly.
I really appreciate that. I appreciate the support and love. And definitely all the ladies, the beautiful ladies, please come out to DMV Nude. It's our first event for the film festival, and it's kind of like our birth as a film festival. That's why it's new. It's nudity in it. It's like, you know, you come into the world, and you come into the world as absolutely nothing, like bare. And so that's kind of the imagery that we wanted to set for this event. So please come out. It's at Mocha Gallery in Georgetown on 31st Street. It's from 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. Free wine. Wine and cheese, music. So just come out, enjoy yourself, and network.
That's what it is. And you know, we might have a special guest. My big sister, Mia X, might be calling in from Louisiana because I know she said she was sitting at the dinner table and stuff, and she's wonderful, a wonderful, powerful woman in the industry. I don't know if this is her on the line and stuff, but I'm going to try to see if that's her. Call her from the 214. 214, you're live on the line on Street Queens, the Movement. Peace.
Hello?
Is this Mia?
Hey, Lush.
Hey, Mia. Mia X is live on the line. The one and only world famous Mia X, the mama Mia, is live on the line with us. Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
You got to give her applause, Lush. Give her applause.
Go ahead and give my big sister applause, especially because she opened up her first restaurant and is doing great. So I'm going to salute my big sister for real.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much.
What's up, Mia? How you doing? I know you was over there sitting at the dinner table. I had to snatch you for a second.
No, I'm actually out. I'm out having dinner.
Oh, you out having dinner? Oh.
You know, I split my time between New Orleans and Houston.
Uh-huh. Because
so,
I know you said you was recording out there with, I know you were supposed to be recording out there with Scarface, right?
Yeah.
Out there,
you
know, recording.
Out the bag.
She's going, I let the cat out the bag, but you know what I'm saying? But you know, she got some fire coming out for y'all. If y'all don't know, the Mama Mia got some fire coming up. She cooking up some hotness besides cooking up in the kitchen. At her new restaurant, which I need to support out there in Louisiana. You know, she got some hot stuff, so we definitely need to support Mia and everything that she's doing. Mia, we got the beautiful ladies of Street Queens, the Movement on here. Ebony representing the California area. Juicy representing the New York area. And we have Tenacia from the DMV. She's actually a film producer, and she just started an international film festival that's going on in the DMV area, and we're talking about how women are viewed in the industry, love.
Oh, wow, this is a great topic. On Twitter, I was arguing the other day with a sister because she cursed me and told me that she needed me to, you know, deal with the guys and tell them about disrespecting us. But the problem that I had was she on Twitter in her profile picture, she's got everything see-through on. I can see everything. So I'm like, you got to give me something to work with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to give me a little something to work with. you half naked, and strangers, you know, shouldn't have the privilege of seeing what you look like up under your clothes. That's something that has to be earned. You know, I want a lot of our sisters that's just posed up for no apparent reason, half naked, to understand that men have to earn that right. You know,
right.
I'm like, you got to give me something to work with. I traveled with 27 men for 8 years, and I get to hear what they really say, really feel after they finish flirting with y'all.
You know, and
we got to really, like, pump our brakes on giving them the subject matter to
finish
the video and write the records and make the videos and the films and the books and yada, yada. We got to kind of pump our brakes on providing them with so much subject matter, because if a lot of us just really pumped our brakes, they wouldn't have anything to talk about. They would have to really sit down and start uplifting us and paying attention to who we really are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going back and forth about that, you know. I stick up for hip-hop all day, every day, because I don't believe that it started with hip-hop, the way we're represented and portrayed. You know, I think it predates that by hundreds of thousands of years, you know, really and truly. But I want everybody to understand that, you know, God, he chose the female, you know, to be the bearer of life. So that should just show you how significant we are, because nobody else can do that but us.
Thank you.
You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? So, you know, I want my sisters really and truly to just start embracing and who they are. You know, royalty is not something that just comes up on you. It's the way you carry yourself. And it doesn't matter where you come from, who your mama was, what kind of environment you lived in. Once you get a certain age, it's time for you to know, look, I'm bigger than this and I'm better than this, and I'm not about to let them handle me like that, you know?
Huh?
That's really just where I'm that's where I'm at with it. I'm trying to start a whole movement with my sisters, uplifting them and teaching them to respect themselves and to cherish who they are, because we are truly special, you know? Like I said, we the only ones could bring life, you know? If we were so secondary, then men would be able to have babies.
What?
Was so secondary. Bigger than that.
Hold on, let's give me some class for that one. Woo! Well, Sister Mia is on the line now. Well.
Okay.
I'm just saying, because, you know, a lot of women, we get into the debates about strippers and prostitutes, but I'm like, you know, at the end of the day, those ladies know their jobs. They know their lane. I'm talking to the great pretenders. I'm talking to the ones that's half naked and plain like they models, and, you know, half naked and plain like they upstanding, self-righteous women, and you want clowns, call girls, and you want clown strippers, but you half naked too. They know what's happening with them. What's happening with you?
What?
That's pretenders.
Pretenders.
With every man on a social network, and then gonna tweet about, ladies, you don't have to be a stripper. Well, what are you?
Wow.
So, like,
in real with me.
For real. You know, that's something. I'm like, I ain't got no problems with the oldest profession in the world, nor do I have a problem with a stripper, because you're going to work, you're getting your money, you're doing whatever you have to do, you staying in your lane. That's on you if it works for you. But it's all about us knowing who we are and what's comfortable for us. You know, we ain't got to be no great pretenders. You're all what you are.
Well, you guys go on the line. Yeah, X.
That's what I'm saying, because we got a whole lost generation out here, you know, and I feel partially responsible for when I was young and wilding and in the street. I think I contributed to destroying a lot of families, because a lot of ladies and men, you know, battled with addiction, and by them battling with addiction and me being in the middle of the street, it put them in a position where they weren't able to give their children the jewels that my parents gave me. So as a result, these kids then grew up, and they're young adults, and they buck wild. So I feel mm-hmm. responsible every time I come in contact with young men and young women, you know, to uplift them and tell them some things that their parents weren't able to tell them for one reason or another, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at with it.
Very good.
Mia, you have a, aren't you doing something with kids? Don't you have an organization where you're doing something with kids?
I work with the Beautiful Foundation, and I work with Urban Uplift. I've worked with both of those. Well, the Beautiful Foundation, I've been working with them 7 years. Been working with Urban Uplift 13 years. And it's young guys and young ladies from the age of 9 to 17. And we just teach them about self-esteem, respecting themselves. You know, we make sure they have school supplies and, you know, uniforms, and the smartest girl and the smartest boy at the end of each quarter, you know, we treat them to go out shopping and, you know, get their hair done, their hair cut. Just try to do little things to show them, you know, about earning a dollar and saving a dollar. And for those who don't know if they're going to go to college, we try to push them towards trades, you know, so that they can open up businesses and better the community. You know, we're just really on that page with them, just trying to be the parent away from home for them, giving them somewhere to come, somewhere to vent, somewhere to relax,
wow.
You know.
Wow.
We need that state to state. We need that state to state.
That's what it is.
We need so many things state to state because really and truly, I'm trying to figure out what happened to our after-school programs because I'm 40, and I can remember we had so many things to do after school, so many centers to go to, and centers
mm-hmm.
that provided dinner. You know, a lot of these kids, they don't get dinner. You know,
mm-hmm.
it ain't going down like that for them. They don't have nowhere to go.
And that's the truth.
And the ones that don't go to school, period, they just wandering. But we need centers all over this country.
Mm-hmm.
We need pop classes. We need production and engineering classes. We need the things that the children are interested in, the things that
yes.
turn them into millionaires and billionaires, because with hip-hop, we've seen
don't.
It done.
Mm-hmm.
But
true.
You know what? They don't really want that. They don't want that. They don't want to educate our children. They want to keep them locked up.
Mm.
Because prison is the new. That's a new slavery. Prison
mm-hmm.
is a new slavery.
And that's the truth. And I see that a lot with me teaching during the day. You know, with these kids, they, you know, the only way to get through them, because, you know, unfortunately, sometimes we don't want to recognize, this is a popular hip-hop culture. And regardless, that's what the children are interested in. If we can integrate that, when I tell my children, oh, I do radio and stuff, they're like, oh, Miss So-and-so, you know, and they're interested in that. So I try to integrate that. Like, if 50 wanted to be the person that he is now, didn't he have to make a plan? Even though he raps and stuff, he still knows how to articulate yourself. So we have to learn how to read. You know, there's formal and informal education. You know, some people can't afford to get their college degree, but they
right.
can, the World Wide Web, they can go to the, they can go and read up to get their certifications and pass the test. There's always a way around of doing something in order to advance yourself in this world. And it's sad that they took our vocational schools away from our children.
Right.
We talked about that last week on Street Queens of Movement, just about the educational system in general, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, what No Child Left Behind situation you're passing our children through, half of them can't read, you know, and
mm-hmm.
you're putting them, giving them IEPs saying that they, our children, mental retardation, but no, the child is angry because you never took the time out to teach them how to read. Then when you teach them how to read, you're like, wow, this child is smarter than what I think. But that's because people don't want to do their job and they want to slide
exactly.
through the situation, through
system.
The system. But we got a caller from the 347. We're talking with Mia X, our big sister. Definitely, she's a wonderful, beautiful queen. Joining us on Street Queens, the movement, and we're also talking about how women are viewed in the industry in general. Caller from the 347, New York, New York. State your name and where you're calling from, baby.
What's going on, y'all? It's TDI NYCBX. You already know.
Peace, King. How you
doing? What's going on, Street Queen? Mama Mia, what up?
What's happening, baby?
My little sister love you to death, boy. All I hear is meax, meax, meax. I'm happy I spoke to meax. I'm laughing.
Oh,
stop, man. She grew
thank
up.
You.
No Tell problem, me. Man. Well,
did you know what, Mia, his sister, you know, the day that I had you on last time, she was like, man, I miss Mia. She loves you to death. I'm talking about diehard fan, Mia. She loves you to death. You hear me?
Wait, that's, you know, that touches my heart because I haven't had a record out in so long, and so that really touches my heart. I'm serious because I think sometimes people forget, you know, so when I hear them say, oh, no, I remember you and I remember your records, I'm like, that's a beautiful thing. That's a blessing.
Yeah, Mia, I haven't forgot your record, Mia, at all. I'm still a doll. Mia, love you.
Yeah, so I've been in the lab. We definitely banging it out right now. We banging it all the way out.
Got to leak something. Got to leak something. Let me hear something, man.
Well, yeah, you know what? Yesterday I put 7 songs on Twit URM.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
I put 7 songs on there yesterday because I was tired of people saying, well, what are you doing? So I was like, well, let me put these songs up and give them the opportunity to at least hear my voice again while I'm working, because I've been all over the place. You know, we doing Natural Born Killers,
right.
And then I'm doing Betty Rock the Locksmith, and I'm doing Unladylike Forever, and Face is doing Under Oath. So we working really crazy on top of my restaurant. Is just, like, driving me insane.
Okay,
but,
the restaurant.
Yeah, the restaurant has been very, very busy, thank God. And no, we've just been trying to keep it really traditional and stick to the culture of what's going on in my hood, because I opened the restaurant in my neighborhood. But other than that, yeah, I uploaded some music for everybody to just take it and do what they do with it, because I was like, let me hurry up and give my people something. They keep on saying, girl, what are you doing? Can we just hear one song? So I'm like, wait, I got 7. I got 7, baby. Here I come.
That's good, man. It's good to hear you still doing your thing, man. For real.
Thank you.
Mia, you know we're going to fight because somebody didn't, like, retweet me or send me the joint over to my Twitter so I can get some of the joint. But it's okay, Mia. You know, I'm hurt. I'm emotional right now.
Wait, let me tell you.
No, Mia just has to come on to Less Radio Online and upload all her songs. And she can upload all her songs.
Wait, let me tell y'all something. Okay, I'm 40. I really and truly used to be gone so much. I'm not a big internet person, so my children have to walk me through uploading and everything like a second grader. I'm one of them parents that, you know, if I hit the wrong remote and all, I'm one of them.
Everything shut off.
Call the kids to come from their house to hook me up. I'm one of them. I'm not going to even lie to you. If I knew how to do everything, I would upload it all at once everywhere. But, honey, I'm so behind time. I just learned how to get all on the net from the phone. That's why I'm a Twitter beast, because I'm finally able to do stuff from the phone. I know how to use my camera. I didn't know how to do none of that stuff, y'all. I'm not even going to lie. Now that I could do it, that's why I'm twit-picking. Yesterday I was twit-picking the children. You know, people hadn't seen my kids. I never let them see them until they grew up. Because I wanted to give them the opportunity to be children and teenagers and young adults, and I wanted them to have a life. You know, I didn't want them all on Front Street just because I was, you know, with a popular group and making music. So I asked them. I had to get permission. I'm like, okay, so everybody wants to know about Mommy's Angels, and I keep telling them y'all 22 and 20. And so I was like, can I put y'all pictures up? My daughter has a baby. I have a little grandbaby. I was like, well, can
she's
I show
so
him
cute.
Marley? So my baby said, yeah, Mommy, you can show him Marley, and you can put my picture up. And Sean was like, okay, you can put my picture up. So I twit-pick them all the time so people can finally see them, because when they were in school, I didn't let anybody see them. I kind of let them do them. I think, you know, children need to have the right to make real friends and make mistakes and, you know, all the things that we did.
Definitely.
Growing pains are a luxury. Before, a lot of kids that have celebrity parents, you know, it's not a luxury because they grow up under a microscope, you know, and I didn't want that to happen to my children.
Yeah, and that's definitely the truth. I got another caller from the 202. I think this is Candy Girl. She also works with Diva Inc., a situation with children and stuff and helping them through art. She's live on the line. Hey, Candy, you're live with Mia X, the Mama Mia, my big sister. What's up?
What's up? What's up,
love?
What's
up?
That's me. She said, hey.
What's Gucci, y'all? What's Gucci? What y'all doing?
Talking to Mia X live on the line, talking about how women are viewed in the industry and stuff.
Oh, man. Hey, Mia, what's up, boo?
What's happening? How you doing, girl?
I'm fine. I'm chilling. Why they feel like this? Let me ask you this. This is how I feel about women in the industry. Why they feel like it's only space for one girl at a time? I don't get that. It's like 20 niggas can come out at a time, but it's only space for one girl at a time or something, like one girl from down south, one girl from up north. What's up with that?
You know, I think it's because it's a male-dominated industry. It's definitely some hating with that. I often hear guys say that they can only listen to one girl at a time, but I'm like, listen, I don't want to hear that about girls ain't hard and girls can't rhyme because women is head of household, and we have been head of household for almost like the last 50 years. So you learn how to be a G from your mama. You learn how to conjugate a verb from your mama. So if you're a lyricist, you're a lyricist because your mammy stood over you and made you learn them words. So I don't understand why it's, you know, it's not enough of us at one time. I think it's enough room for everybody. If you got the joint, you know, and you got the following, I think the floodgates should just open up and sisters should be able to come out and spit and make their music because I'm definitely rooting for every chick in the game. You know, I often tell people when they get at me about different girls, I'm like, nah, I'm their mama, and I'm a cheerleader for everybody. I want to see everybody get that money and flip that money and let that money grow. I want to see all of them make their records and build a solid fan base, you know. But it's weird how that is because when I was coming out, it was just me. And after me, then it was Trina. And I noticed, you know, one at a time, they gave Kim an opportunity to shine, then they gave Fox the opportunity to shine. It really was, just like you're saying, one at a time. And it's a shame because there were so many talented women out. You know, it's just crazy. But we got to push the door.
And that both the grandma shine. You know what I'm saying? They always got – I ain't gonna even go into their business. But at the same time, we got to do something different. Because I feel like I'm Bogart in the industry. And then the way Weezy just come out here as an artist, he feel like, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to put on who I want to put on. He make it seem like, you know, the industry make it seem like it's locked. And you can only get in if you meet these certain criteria or if you sell this many units, you move this many records, you got this many clicks on your page and all of that geek and shit. But for real, you can be a nigga that ain't never rap before, get a nigga to write your shit. And if a motherfucker's fucking with you, then they're going to put you out there. And that's the whole thing how I feel like. At the same time, as long as you fucking with yourself and you got at least one other person that's fucking with you, then it's unstoppable. Because at that time, can nobody tell you no, you're just going to keep going until you get to where you're supposed to be.
That's right. But you know what? The thing about it, like I overcame a lot of obstacles. When Pete came down from California, he moved back home, and he was trying to start a label, and he really was trying to make it pop off in the South. So he came to see me because I had an independent record. I moved 77,000 units with my partner, Jill, God bless the dead, and we had a double cassette, and we was taping my record and then getting in a car, just driving up the street. Everywhere we saw a packed club, we got out. I went in there, asked them, could I sing my joint? When the people went crazy to him, then I told him I had cassettes for $5 in the back. I kind of worked my muscle in the street, and it made the radio play my record because they kept saying, who is this girl? Who is this girl? And no, I wasn't a sex symbol. I was fat, talking cash money shit, and just really moving my stuff. So, you know, we have to really not depend on a click or who's on and who's doing what. We got to really just do our own thing. You know what I'm saying? We have to really take charge, like we take charge of the household, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Most of us are raising our families by ourselves. So it's very important to just decide what it is you're going to do. If you want to do this music thing, set all your own stuff up yourself and be your own boss and get to your own numbers anyway, because independently, I saw a whole lot of money. A whole lot of money, you know. And I just really think we got to take charge, you know. We got to do like we do at home, you know. You get your own website. You get your own label. You know, you just kind of like got to grind it out yourself. Because I came from an era where there was no internet at all. I dropped my first record in 1992. You know, and CDs were far and few in between. I'm telling you, I'm in the studio recording on 2-inch before AJAX was popular.
What?
You know? Yeah, like I'm straight on 2-inch and then taking a cassette tape. It was all about cassette tape. You know, I had little white cardboard packets that I was sliding the tapes in, writing with Mark-a-Lot, you know, just really on like a street grind, trying to start my own movement, you know, not caring who was fine, not caring who had a weave. I wasn't caring about none of that. I said, I'm going to give these bras what they want, and these niggas don't feel me because I look like they mamas, they sisters, and that broad at home that they really love. So, you know, we just, we got to really.
You go, girl.
For real, we got to really be about tightening up our own belt and putting our hustle heels on and going get it. And it don't matter who the hot dude is, who the hot click is. Once you get your grind on, they're going to have to respect you. You know, they
exactly,
have to come
exactly.
See you.
And I feel that.
He came see me. He came looking for me. You know, we got to make them come see us. I ain't even trying to, like, click up like that. Master P wasn't hot when I got with him. I was hot. I was already my own artist, you know, because I decided this is what I really wanted to do. I started in 1984, and I was like, shit, I'm going to be a rapper. Everybody else in my high school class, they were going to be teachers and doctors and lawyers. Yeah, what you going to be? I'm going to be a rapper. They was like, what? A rapper? This is 1987. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be a rapper, you know. So really and truly, just like women, you figure out how you go to school, go to work, pay your bills, watch your kids, get your kids to school. We multitasking every day of our lives. So if this is what we want, we got to squeeze that in too and not even trip on who, the what, where, the radio, none of that. Just get on out there and make it happen. I had 2 jobs. That's how I was buying my cassettes with my checks from my 2 jobs, you know, and sitting out, pressing play, pressing record, pressing play, making sure this tape didn't have too much air in it. Some people did get a little air. Some people had a little static, you know. But I mean, it was what it was. It was what it was. But, you know, I want the ladies to really be encouraged and really step back and analyze what we do on a daily basis. Girl, we can do this. We don't need MC so-and-so behind us. You really don't need a dude standing behind you because at the end of the day, you're telling him what to do anyway.
Not only that, but you females, first of all, females are dressed the way I dress, act the way I act. Of course, niggas just trying to fuck. I come across, you know what I'm saying, being around a lot of money a lot of times. And whole time, niggas be trying to fuck. A lot of niggas don't have your best career
Can you kind of like with the faux fan? Because we try to keep it a little PG, a little bit on this joint.
Okay. All right, not bad. I'm just basically saying how, you know, guys, we just really try and get at you for one thing, especially being a female in the industry. So it's like we do got to do our own thing. It's a lot of times where people won't help you when they can't help you, and you be like almost right there. You can touch it. You can see it. But you don't feel like selling yourself to the devil because it really ain't worth it and stuff. And at the same time, you know what I'm saying, I heard you was coming back out. So, I mean, how truthful is that, Mama?
I didn't hear you say it again.
I said I heard you was coming back out. How truthful is that?
Yeah, it's very true. I'm in the studio almost every night, and I owe my fans a record because, you know, I left. My whole family died, and I took a break. I put my sister through medical school. She's a doctor now. So, you know, with that being said, I am back. Hip-hop is my first love. So I'm doing it again and doing it on my own. Ain't even thinking. People be saying, you know what, such and such could do this with distribution. Child, I ain't even thinking about all that. I'm the same broad I told you that had the double tape. So I'm not even, you know, I'm not even really tripping. I set out to find 80,000 of my fans, and I found them because I knew they was my core fans. Mm-hmm. I knew they was the ones that had actually rocked with me since 1992.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is, man. VX is live on the line with us. If you're just joining us on Street Queens the Moon, we're talking about how women are viewed in the industry, and we have the adored, the loved, and I respect her so much, and I bow down to her, love her to death. Mia X live in the building, and I'm so proud of her opening up a restaurant, coming back, giving us that good music. And she's talking to us and giving, dropping some jewels for the people, because, you know, people, we need it right here, and definitely for the ladies, man. Juicy, do you have a question for Mia in regards to how ladies are viewed in the industry?
No, I don't really have a question. I'm just loving what I'm hearing. I just wish that the women who need to hear this could hear it. A lot of women out there right now are, you know, they're reaching out for attention. A lot of them need a lot of attention. I don't know what's going on. They're hungry.
Yeah, that's true. That is,
you know, I feel sorry for them sometimes. I you can't save everybody, but I'm embarrassed for some of them. It's not necessary. They're looking for the wrong attention, and you're always going to be unhappy. And, I mean, whether it's in this business or in, you know, the real world, I just wish that, you know, we had more positive images and people out there for the girls.
That's what it is. That's what it is, man.
Yeah.
Ebony, you got a question for Mia?
What you said? Yeah.
Definitely. You got a question for Mia?
Hi, Mia. This is Ebenisha. I follow you on Twitter. I had a conversation with you. What I wanted to just basically just touch on is that we really need to just have like a Mia X day, like for real.
Yes.
She is just so just jeweled up, and I could just listen to her like drop that knowledge just like all day long, and then we could just do her music on the, you know what I'm saying, at the same time. So that would just be just a lovely thing. So
we're gonna have to set that
up. We're gonna have to set that up. But what I wanted to basically let our listeners know is that, you know, being the person that you was in the game, you know what I'm saying, and everybody being exposed to you, being the only female with, you know, with the male domination or what have you. Like, basically, how did you keep yourself from, I mean, how do I word this? Let the listeners know how important it is yourself, you know what I'm saying, and not just dove into anything just because it sounds good.
You know, a lot of that has to do with my mom, just keeping it real. She wanted me to be true to myself and true to the music that I was doing. I was doing a lot of music that related to my environment and my peers. And the self-esteem, my mom instilled self-esteem in me and my sister. So you couldn't get me to write a rhyme about whatever that was going to make me look like whatever. That's not, you know, that just wasn't going to happen. So, you know, I want a lot of females to just think about the subject matter that's brought to them. If it's a song you're uncomfortable doing, don't feature on that song. You know, if you feel comfortable, then go ahead and do it. The most important thing, I'm going to tell you now, being in a clique, it was important to love them as brothers and nephews and sons. It's important to keep a family unit with your clique and not make them your boyfriends.
You might want to repeat that. Can you repeat that?
Can you let them know that, player?
So, like, for real, though, for real, you want to have brothers and sons and nephews and cousins. You don't want to have boyfriends, you know, in your clique, and you want to respect your clique. When you out and about, you don't want to be all drunk, falling down. You don't want to go around other cliques and feel just because they're not in your clique, you could date them. It's all about keeping your queendom.
Yes, that's why we have three queens to move it, man. Always being the queen at all times, baby.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to, Betty Wright is a real, real good friend, like a mom to me. And see that, you can't show your teeth to every guy you meet? See, that's some real spit right there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be the type that everybody could just touch your feeling and laugh when you know you're really serious about your craft. Every time you get in the game, you know, you're in the booth, you gotta tear their tails up. You got to let them know you ain't playing. You got to show them who the real wordsmiths are. The wordsmiths are your mom. Your mom's standing over you telling you how to do your homework. Somebody, you know, especially with the dudes, first time somebody hits you and you run inside crying, your mama tell you, you better go out there and hit them back. Yeah, that's where you became a G from. You don't even know your daddy. You don't even know him. That's when you became a G. She was out there head first, ready to fight the whole project in the middle of the street for you. So we got to take that with us. This is a queendom, your temple. You got to take it with you, and you got to be real, real serious about how you handle yourself, especially in this business. It doesn't matter if your clothes are tight. If you carry your temple the way it's supposed to be carried, you're going to wear a glow on you where a dude's going to say, yeah, she's fine, and her dress kind of short, but I'm going to step to her right because I can see she ain't playing no games. She ain't playing no games. My she a brick house, and she wear little bitty clothes, and she's a doctor of internal medicine and molecular genetics. And when dudes look at her, they know she ain't playing no games. She from that Seventh Ward, just like me, very intelligent, like to dance on tabletops and everything, honey, has a good time at the party. But ain't nobody about to step to her and play with her like she worth $2. Priceless. And we got to wear that priceless tag on our temple. You know, that's the important thing.
That's real talk coming from my big sister, Mia. And I'm going to go ahead and bring in this caller from the 347. Caller from the 347. You're live in the building with Mama Mia preaching and letting us know and dropping them jewels how women are viewed in the industry. We're talking on Street Queens, the movement. Peace.
Peace, Queens. This is Lisette from the BX. Oh,
peace. I have a queen right here, man. Peace, Lisette.
Peace, Lush. How you? ¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien, gracias. ¿Y tú?
Muy bien, mija. Muy bien.
What's up, Lisette?
Hey, what's up,
Lisette? Hey, what's up? How you feeling, Mom?
Oh, my God. After that little lesson there, I'm feeling good right now. I just got out of Berkeley College. I'm officially a college girl, y'all.
Hey, let's give her some class for that. Let's go ahead and give my sister some class for that. That's what's so proud of you.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you, it's a rough world out there, man. It's rough. I was at work today trying to get my food from the cafeteria, right?
Uh-huh.
And the gentleman behind there, you know, he's always joking around. Oh, hello, princess. How are you today? All this stuff, right? And every day I remind him, my name is not princess. My name is Lisette. But how you doing today, Tony? Right? They see a pretty face. They don't take you serious. They don't take you serious. It's hard as a female, I'll tell you. And I swear to God, I agree with what Mama was saying. You know, you got to let them know from the beginning. I'm a woman. Yes, I'm pretty, but I will knock you out if I need to knock you out.
Well, honestly.
That's real talk.
And we, like I said, man, we're talking about women and how they're portrayed and how they're viewed in the industry. And, you know, versus, you know, before, in 2010, I see a lot of wonderful, strong women. They're taking the forefront, whether it's from film, whether it's the radio industry, whether it's music, whether it's just business in general. A lot of these strong businesses are ran by women. Shout out to Nancy O. Shout out to LEX Promotions down south. All the strong women, you know, are doing their thing, whether it's restaurants, whether it's whatever they're doing. Women are doing their thing this year. I think they're going extra hard this year than they ever have, and they're really getting their recognition. But I want to hear this from the ladies all together. And if you're just joining us, like I said, we have the beautiful, wonderful Mia X. I love her so much. She makes me want to cry because I love her so much, man. I swear to God. I love Mia, man. But I'm going to go to the caller from the 202. Candy, you know, how do you feel women are projected in this day and age versus maybe like last year or the year before?
I think that it's gotten back to being sexier and being raunchier. I think that as women, when we say to ourselves, okay, we want to be rappers, we already know we're about to get into an industry where sex sells and different things happen. It's like sometimes people might look at you differently because they think you're sexier or you might rap about explicit stuff. However, I feel like really it's just a story to tell. So your image is whatever, you know, your story is. If you come from the suburbs and that's what you know about, that's what you're going to be best at projecting, unless they, you know what I'm saying, put you in a boot camp and teach you how to be somebody else. But most people don't make it long. Real, recognize real. At the same time, I think that, you know what I'm saying, we have to accept music for what it is. Everybody not going to like everybody, but there is no exact with music. Your story is your story. And I think people need to stop pointing fingers being like, oh, this person's so sexy, this person being too raunchy, this person doing this person doing that. That might be what that person is in their life today. It don't mean that they might not look at themselves tomorrow and want to be somewhere else, but you got to respect people for being where they are. Like, even, you know what I'm saying, my girls, like a lot of my girls, we not gay or whatever, and they talk about how they like Nicki, but they can't really repeat what she say all the time because of this, because of that. But you know what I'm saying, she doing her. Let everybody do them. You just accept them for what they are, and if you don't like it, turn your cheek, turn the channel, do something different.
That's right. You know what? I agree with that 100%, because I think we have too many people in the game that's perpetrating a fraud, and music is all things. You know, I would hate if hip-hop was just one-dimensional, if it was just all backpack rappers or all booty-shaking rappers or all gangster rappers. We need all that. Music has to be a gumbo pot. You know, and I kind of get really mad when people try to say they don't like this one or that one in the game because they spitting this way or they dressing that way. I agree with you 100%. Everybody have their lane, and everybody makes a type of music that somebody likes. So it's all necessary, you know. And if Mia X is making a record or make records that you don't agree with, don't fool with her. If Nicki making a record you don't like, then you ain't got to deal with it. But you gotta respect the fact that it's a lot of people that like what she's doing. It's a lot of people that like what Remy was doing, that like what Kim was doing, that like what Rage was doing, that like what Jean Grey is doing. You got to give everybody the opportunity to just do them. And if you don't fit what they're doing, then you ain't got to deal with it. That's the luxury of living in America.
And that's real talk right there. And Juicy, how do you feel about the way women are looked in the industry? Are they looked perceived the same way, or you feel like they're standing in the forefront? How you feel about that, Juicy?
Well, I've been around a long time. I would like to see some progress. I mean, some women have, you know, kept their decency, and you know, I'm about everybody having fun. And you know, I'm not a prude, but some of these women really need to reevaluate what message they want to send. You know, do they want success or they want popularity, you know, with the guys? Like I said before, a lot of this is reaching out for attention. most of the time it's negative attention. And we need more positive people like me. I mean, she was missed. You know, Little Kim did her thing, but she wasn't repping for the strong black female. She was trying to get hers. You know what I'm saying? So it was.
You know what? This is the thing. I mean, I think if you listen to my records, I was talking about when I met Big. I met Big in the airport, and a guy from the service who was from Brooklyn had came back with my tape, The Payback, the record I put out in 92. That was the nastiest, rawest, raunchiest record you ever heard. And when Big met me, he was talking about that record, not the stuff that I was doing with No Limit at the moment. And he told me that that record, when he got a female artist, he wanted her to be just as raw and just as explicit. The only difference is whenever I would do my rhymes and do my concerts, I would always take the time to talk to the ladies and tell them, well, I know y'all hear me saying this and that, but let me tell y'all some other stuff because, you know, aside from music, women and men, we have real conversations with each other. So at that point, I would break down to them why I made certain records and why I say certain things because a lot of the times for me, I was just lashing out representing for the females because the males were being so disrespectful. But,
right.
You know, certain people's upbringing didn't afford them the luxury of being able to just be upright and upstanding and decent. Some people really had a crazy, raunchy upbringing, and because of that, you know, you kind of see that in the music and you see that in the imagery. With women, we say we want to have a whole bunch of decent women, a whole bunch of decent men. In music in general, be it rap, be it pop, be it rock, but we have to also look at where they come from and who was at home with them because a lot of people didn't have parents. I was lucky. I was just bad. You know what I'm saying? I jumped off the porch really early, and I had a daredevil spirit, but I had really strong, decent, great parents. We just was in the middle of the hood, and my grandma was a real gangster, and I just decided to jump off the porch and kind of be bad, but I still had the tools and the jewels that my mom used to arm me with, so it made me fare out a little better than some of my sisters that was out there with me, because I lost 9 girlfriends. 9 of my partners got their brains blowed out, you know.
Wow.
9 of them. So, you know, I listen to a lot of the rap and I look at a lot of the imagery. And sometimes, especially being 40, you know, you just see things differently when you start to get older. And I wish they would, but then I try to relate to, you know, well, maybe this one or that one, you know, didn't have a mama saying, now you know you can't let them say you make any record.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. We need balance. You know, there's room for everybody. I agree with you. And we're grown. We can have grown people conversation. I have no problem with the content. I mean, they're saying something to somebody, but we should have balance. What I'm seeing an imbalance. That's what I'm trying to say. You know,
it's an imbalance. I think it's an imbalance in America as far as morality goes.
That's true. Now, the culture.
Yeah, the climate is not balanced right now. You know, we in wrong wars. We got a lot of two left shoes things going on right now. I just think the whole climate is imbalanced. And because of that, you know, we hearing a warped side of the music, a warped side of the movies. And
right.
I would like the balance to be restored. That was one of the reasons why I started talking to Faith about us coming back to do music because I was like, Zane, all the music kind of just sounded alike. And
right.
I remember when we was in the game, you had a lot of stuff to choose from, a lot of different sounds and a lot of different vibes. You could ride to No Limit or you could ride to the Fugees. You know what I'm saying? It was a lot of different vibes. And I was like, man, we got to make some records just to help.
Right.
A little bit restored.
And that's what I be saying. That's what I'm saying. How I feel like we need to just have a variety of different things. If you don't like action movies, you don't have to choose to go to that action movie. You can continue to see the dramas, or you can continue to see the comedy. But all them action actors, they still getting their money. They still getting paid because it's somebody out there still watching those movies. Like you said, Mama, you at a different place in your life now than when you was at 10, 15 years ago. But 10, 15 years ago, when you opened your mouth, when you said what you said, couldn't nobody tell you differently, because that was the story that you was telling. You experienced those things, and even though other people may not be used to it, but we can sit down and listen to your story. A lot of time, rap music is not about the stuff you can see on TV. Right now, you got a lot of this bubblegum doing dance stuff, but I'm talking about good rap music is telling you stories that you can relate to because you went through it, not because it's something that's so commercial or something that everybody is doing. I think that the balance needs to be that everybody has expectations for rappers. Why are we putting limitations to art? You know what I'm saying? Rap is nothing but rhythm and poetry. If this my tone,
right.
If this what I want to talk about, why are you so mad? If I want to talk about sucking, if I want to talk about busting, if I want to talk about what was happening when I was trafficking, I'm not from the block. We only hit the highways. And then we ain't have to do nothing for a couple of months. This is my story. You don't have to tell me to tame my story, or don't talk about this, or only talk about that. What you need to do, or what we need to do as a culture, is to train our kids that certain information you get to at a certain point in your life. So right now, you don't need to listen to this. And let everything else happen the way it's supposed to happen.
That's the truth. And on that note, I'm going to go ahead and get to a song from Mia with Brandy featuring Mia X. And, you know, in honor of my big sister being on the line. And we're going to come back with more questions. I want to shout out our sponsors, Ohana Shot, wonderful lady doing her thing. And all the beautiful ladies that's on the line right now. And caller from the 202, we're going to bring you up on the line once we come back from this song for me. I'm going to give y'all a snippet of this, some taste of this Mia X, and show y'all some love.
Have Mia X Day. Yay.
Yes, we're going to have a whole Mia X Day. You know,
oh,
I...
so sweet. Now that's too sweet, baby.
I've been trying to get that too.
We're going to go ahead and play this joint right now. We'll be back with Mia and stuff. So think about y'all questions and y'all final thoughts. And we're going to talk more about women in the industry, how they viewed.
See this right here?
Grown into a flower. I'm a stone that's rising. I'm getting stronger with every hour. And God knows I ain't perfect. Tell me who in the world is. All I know is that I'm searching for somebody to love me with.
so close to me. Though every day's a blessing, just to get up, I would hide my pain just to keep your lips up. That was fake on me, that'll happen not again. I need balance, that's where the red dots again. I'm getting my grown woman on, and I ain't even mad at you, handsome, I'm just moving on. Peace. This is Emma E2K. Y ahora están escuchando Lush Radio. What, you didn't know what I said? You are now listening to LushRadioOnline.com.
Yeah, you're now listening to Street Queens, the movement on Lush Radio Online with all the beautiful women logged on. And we're talking about how women are viewed in the industry. We have the beautiful and wonderful Mia X. That was a wonderful, beautiful song by her and Brandy, and she was doing her thing on there. And if you're just joining us, we're wrapping up the show, and we're going to definitely, you know, give you basically a quick synopsis of what we talked about. We had Tenacia, film producer, live on the line, and we talked about different issues that affect women just in the industry. And definitely we're going to talk about the DJ Carl Blaze coat drive that went on in New York. It was successful. We get Street Queens of Movements and E2K Magazine gave a lot of coats out. We do it every year. It was our second annual one against violence, and it went down in the Bronx, and it was successful, and we were able to give coats out to the homeless and definitely support nonviolence. And we have to go back to the lines with all of our beautiful ladies and give our final thoughts to the beautiful Mia. And we're going to have a Mia Day. We just need to have one. I think it's a necessary to have a Mia Day. What you guys think?
You know what? I just want to tell the ladies that I love them, and, you know, it's time for us to really play Mirror, Mirror on the Wall to see how beautiful we really are. You know, you don't have to settle. You don't have to sell yourself. We are the mothers of civilization. So, you know, if you're trying to rhyme, make sure your rhymes are tight so everybody can respect you for the way you write. You know, if you got your face game on and you modeling, go in there really, really serious and be all about the print work. You know what I'm saying? If you're an actress, be serious about your craft. Don't let anybody, you know, sucker you into their bedrooms, because if you go into the bedroom with them, you're probably not going to get the part. And if you do get the part or you do get the feature, it's only going to be for that one time, because most of those dudes have somebody at home. Like I'm telling you, I watch ladies on the internet and all over get at my hubby all day, and I crack up because I'm like, oh my goodness, look at them, and this is not going to get them anywhere. So just take your craft and yourself serious. You know, if you don't take yourself serious, nobody else is going to take you serious. And, you know, it's time for us to put this power in our hands. We raising families, and we putting our extended families on our backs, so we can start our own businesses. You know, we have to start respecting each other. We have to stop saying, I don't trust no female. I don't want no female around me. You're not supposed to feel that way about your sisters.
No.
We sisters. You're not supposed to feel that way. It's a lot of stuff about women that make us hate each other and hate ourselves that predate hip hop. A lot of stuff. A lot of stuff started in the house, because I was guilty of that too. You know, telling my daughter, you don't need a lot of female friends. I had to check myself. You know, we start embedding those seeds in our children, telling our sons, watch them pissy tail little girls. And then when they grow up and they have 6, 7, 8 of them at one time, we forget we were the very ones telling them, you know, you don't owe them nothing, and all of that foolishness. All that predates hip hop.
And I'm going to go ahead and bring this other caller in, caller from the 202 that's been waiting patiently, 202-413. You're live on Street Queens, the movement, with the one and only Mia X.
Yeah, this is Tanisha. I got disconnected.
Oh, hey.
Uh-huh. Hey.
Hey, I got disconnected. I was trying to get back in, but I was listening, though.
Excellent.
So, Mia X, let me ask you a question. Well, it's actually a statement, actually. like, you're doing your music now, right? You're getting ready to come back out and blow back. So as soon as you get ready, please come to me for a music video. I will definitely make you cinematic, definitely.
Oh, well, yes, indeed, lady. You're the lady I need to talk to. I'm with it.
Let's link up, definitely, because I'm definitely trying to put a mark on your music video. Something serious.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. I have a lot of songs. I'm trying to shoot videos for all of them.
Hey, it's here in D.C. It's here in D.C. It's definitely.
Well, no, look, that even works for me. My sister's a physician at the National Naval Medical Center. And so that works for me because it'll give me the opportunity to come and see my baby sister because we texting every day because she's in the hospital for so many hours. So I've been dying to have an excuse.
Well, definitely when you get into town, let's link up. I'll give my – well, Les already has my information and website
where
you can check out.
She has my information too, so we good.
Yeah, we good. We good. She good people. So, yeah, definitely. I definitely want to put a mark on it and let everybody else know that you're back in the game, here to stay.
And then for you to put a mark on it, that's girl power. That's what I'm talking about. We have to just put this power in our own hands, and we don't have to worry about what clique we with or what, you know, what guy is pushing us out there, you know. I helped Master P with his rhymes. He ain't helped me with mine. You know, like on some real stuff. And it's a lot of women, you know, we standing behind men and we making them look really great.
Exactly.
You know, we making them look great. So we have to just take that power and do our own things. And that way we can work with our fellas in the business and we could really be some serious teams and serious driving forces and not just look like damsels in distress and you know, all cute
and weak,
you know.
That's what it is.
Gotta show them we beautiful monsters in this game.
And Mia, I just want to tell you, I just want to tell you that I love you to death, and I was sitting here multitasking. My artist was on another radio show, so I had to shout him out while we was doing this at the same time. But, you know, women got to multitask. You know, this is how we
That's
do.
Right.
So, but I just want to say that I want to thank all of our listeners, all of our callers, everybody, Think Brown Inc., Natasha Brown, all of the DMV, all of New York, Louisiana, all of my friends in the Wheezy, everybody worldwide, international. I need y'all to follow Real Mia X on Twitter. Please follow my sister, support her and everything that she's doing. I'm telling you, when I say a genuine person, she's a genuine person. She will respond back to you. She shows so much love. Like, she's like the realest person I ever met in my life. I love her to death. And she's always welcome. And her home is always on Street Queens, the movement, Let's Radio Online. We love her to death. And that was a beautiful song you did with Brandy. And I just want
to
say I thank
shout
you.
Shout out to Brandy for that.
Definitely. Shout out to Brandy for doing her thing. And log on to www.streetqueensthemovement.ning.com. And we want all the ladies to join. It's a community for women to support one another, no matter what, black, white, or Hispanic. You know, we want you guys to support one another. And also, we'll be posting some of Mia's songs up there, man, because we definitely love her. And she'll be this month's feature on there. We're going to take the picture and, you know, put her bio on there. We just want you guys to support her, man. Support Mia and everything that she's doing. She's the Mama Mia. She's our mama, our sister, our friend, and we love her to death. Street Queens, the movement, we're here. Positive people doing positive things. Shout out to Emma E2K Magazine and, you know, that community situation we did for DJ Carl Blaze. Stop the violence. And remember, when life throws you a curveball in life, you know you have control of the direction of it. Don't matter no what anybody says, you can do whatever you put your mind to. Mia has proven it. Let's Radio Online has proven it. Street Queens, the movement, all of our ladies have proven it. No matter what people say, you can make it no matter what. And every day that you say is the worst day of your life, how many other days have we made it through? Come on. Put God first all day, every day. Mia, I love you. And I won't call you on the flip side and stuff. And I need to talk to you anyway because we got to talk about these drops and this other music because I love you anyway. So I got to talk about that stuff too on the flip side, off screen. But I love you, sis.
Call me. We'll do three-way.
I love you too. I love all y'all. Y'all ladies just keep doing y'all things. Y'all inspire me. I'm just so happy to see the direction that so many women have taken their crafts, you know, and made this money and kept their essence. You know, I'm very, very proud of y'all. I'm a proud, 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 proud mama.
That's what it is. I love you so much, Mia. And you're one of the people in the forefront that allowed us to do what we're doing right now. I love you, Juicy. Love you, Ann. Love you, Gina. Everybody, Strictly Bump One, everybody in the chat room that definitely support us each and every Thursday, same time, same place, 8 o'clock Eastern, Street Queens, The Movement. And shout out to Archie Eversole, man. Keep winning. You know what? Actually, I'm going to go ahead and play Mia's song again just because I feel like it. You know, who cares? Mia's on the line, dog. And we'll see y'all next week on Thursday. Mia, I love you to death. I love all of my beautiful queens.
I love all y'all. Y'all stay strong, ladies. Y'all stay strong.
That's what it is. And I definitely.
We're going to have a Mia day. We're going to have to pick a Tuesday, Les. Pick a Tuesday.
Definitely. And shout out to Candy Girl. Follow Candy Girl at Candy Girl Music. Two Eyes. Ebenisha at Ebenisha. Juicy Fruit. Juicy For You. Follow Ann. Follow Emma E2K Magazine, Links, everybody, all of our ladies, Ashley, Emma, Lissette, everybody, man, all the ladies, man, we love y'all, man. If ain't nobody tell you they love you, we love you. And we out. Mia, Mia, Mia.
Bye.